death laid the Savior low. Sinners to justify, Christ slew the ancient foe, and he lives no more to die. Christ arose from the dead, praise his matchless glory. Christ arose as he said, tell the wondrous story. Christ arose, shout and sing, Jesus faileth never. Christ arose as the King, and he lives forever. Bow to the conquering King, God's own begotten Son. Death, where is now thy sting? God's redeeming work is done. Christ arose from the dead. Praise his matchless glory. Christ arose as he said, tell the wondrous story. Christ arose, shout and sing, Jesus faileth never. Christ arose as the King, and he lives forever. Gone is the hopeless gloom, vacant the stormy bed. A conquering tomb, Christ is risen from the dead. Christ arose from the dead. Praise his matchless glory. Christ arose as he said, tell the wondrous story. Christ arose, shout and sing, Jesus faileth never. Christ arose as the King, and he lives forever. Loudly the news proclaim, proudly the tidings spread. Publish the victor's name, Christ is risen from the dead. Christ arose from the dead, praise his matchless glory. Christ arose as he said, tell the wondrous story. Christ arose, shout and sing, Jesus faileth never. Christ arose as the King, and he lives forever. Jesus lives forever. Jesus lives forever.
crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb. To the grave and cried in deep despair. I fell before the garden tomb and wept in sorrow there. My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb. I saw the stone was rolled away. I heard a voice that said, "The Lord of glory, whom ye seek, is risen from the dead." My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb.
Christ arose, he offered living hope to Adam's race. By swallowing the sting of death and standing in our place,
refusing to allow his Holy One to see decay, our God will make his own complete on resurrection day. Praise the One.
Lives to die no more. Oh, glorious resurrection. is filled with praise on this great day of days. For Christ is risen from the dead. A sweeter melody, what glorious harmony. For Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Praise his name. Earth's sorrows disappear. I need not fret or fear, for Christ is risen from the dead. The mocking crowd is gone, the agonizing done, for Christ is risen from the dead. The cross has had its day, the tomb has lost its prey, for Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Praise his name. Earth's sorrows disappear. I need not fret or fear, for Christ is risen from the dead. Redemption has been paid, full ransom has been made, for Christ is risen from the dead. This glorious song, my theme, 'tis he who can redeem. For Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Praise his name. Earth's sorrows disappear. I need not fret or fear, for Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ alone. grave, where thy victory, O grave. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head. Made like him we rise, ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Dark and heavy, there are people who still seek,
and their hearts are still bewildered, confused and torn by grief. All their hopes have come to nothing, all their dreams are crushed and gone. They
they search to find the truth.
Will you lead them to the empty tomb? Will you share with them the truth? He is risen.
He is not dead.
He is not dead. He is risen.
chapter 24. I would like you to imagine with me, if you can, what it must have been like for the disciples when it dawned upon them, finally, that the resurrection was real. In Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 5, the women discover that the tomb is empty. And they see two men standing in verse 4. Verse 5, they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And these two said to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember," they say, "how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." In verse 8, they remembered those words. And so in verses 9 through 11, they go and tell the disciples. In verse 9, they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Peter runs to the temple in verse 12, sees the empty tomb, the linen clothes laid by themselves, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Later that same day, as it's recorded in this chapter, beginning in verse 13, Jesus appeared to two of them on the road to Emmaus. He spoke with them and walked with them. And in that conversation, they seemed skeptical about the resurrection, verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. In verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. What a moment. Yes, we heard the tomb was empty. They didn't see the body. But you know, there's just that note of skepticism in their voice. But in this moment, they knew it was the resurrected Christ. Later, Jesus would meet with the group of disciples. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, saying unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Don't know what it was like for the first time to see the resurrection. I mean, you saw him die. And now he's alive. This moment in which it dawned upon them that the resurrection was real must have been amazing. And in fact, it dramatically changed their lives. They went from being discouraged disciples to being assertive apostles. Did you ever notice the change in terminology? Instead of just being disciples, they became evangelists and martyrs for their faith. Paul would later say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In fact, for anyone who can grasp the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that truth will dramatically change your life. First, you must understand that Christ's death was real. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias or Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. When Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now over in John chapter 19, verses 31 to 34, it says, and stay there in Matthew, and we'll come right back a moment. But in John chapter 19, verses 31 to 34, it says, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. You understand, in crucifixion, there was a little tiny platform upon which the feet would rest. And the only way they survived for any length of time on the cross was by pushing up with their feet, because they died by asphyxiation. It was basically a very cruel form of hanging, because when they would droop, the windpipe would be closed off and they would suffocate. Can't imagine how tormenting it must have been for Jesus to push himself up with the nails in his feet. And so, by breaking the legs, it would be impossible for them to continue to breathe. They would die. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water, a clear indication of death. He was dead. He was clearly dead. And Christ's physical death was so real that they put his lifeless body in a tomb and sealed it. Here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. And when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Christ's death was real. That's the first thing to know. Now, the second thing to know is the nature of God. God has amazing power. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What material did he use to create all of that? He really made it out of nothing. In Job 26 and verse 7, he says, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Isaiah 40, verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not only can he create things out of nothing, he is able to breathe the breath of life into a chunk of dirt. You know, that's what Adam's body was made out of. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's about what our bodies are worth, the dust of the ground. He formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God can even cause stones to praise him if need be. Luke chapter 19 and verse 40, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Luke 1:37 says, for with God shall nothing be impossible. If God can make things out of nothing, breathe the breath of life into a chunk of dirt, cause inanimate stones to praise him, he can bring a dead person back to life. In fact, in Acts chapter 22, verses 22 through 24, it tells us that it was absolutely impossible for the grave to hold the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this was not an ordinary person who had died. This is the eternal Son of God who had taken on himself human form, who had died. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And so, in light of the fact that Christ's death was very real, and in light of the fact that God has the power to raise the dead, you can understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very real physical resurrection. Christ's death was real. God has the power to raise the dead. And because Jesus is God and it was impossible for the grave to hold him, the resurrection was inevitable and it was real. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And so what does this mean to us? John 11. 23 to 26. John 11, verse 23. Jesus says to Martha, regarding her brother Lazarus, who was dead, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Christ's resurrection is the source of our hope in eternal life. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with Martha, we can say that we know we will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. But there's more than that. Romans chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. Romans chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism, that is, immersion into the body of Christ, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And in light of the fact that we will be in the likeness of his resurrection, we, because of the hope we have in that, can now walk in the newness of life that comes with that hope. And just like the disciples were transformed into apostles by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of Christ's resurrection has the power to transform our lives. Instead of lost because of the resurrection of Christ, we are saved. Instead of defeated, we are victorious. Instead of fearful, we are confident. Instead of pessimistic, we have certain hope. Instead of doubt, we have trust. Instead of sadness, we have joy. Instead of hate, we have love. Instead of despair, we have peace. Instead of deadness, we can be full of life. All because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All you need to do is believe that you are a sinner. And completely on your own, you are condemned to an eternity separated from God in darkness and torment in the fires of hell. And then believe that Jesus did all that needs to be done to redeem you and rescue you from this tragic destiny. And then just trust that Jesus' suffering on the cross, the pouring out of his blood on the cross, the dying on the cross, was all for you and was enough to satisfy God the Father. And in the resurrection, we can have the certain hope of eternal life. Simply call on the name of the Lord. Declare to him these things you believe. I am a sinner. I'm lost. I cannot save myself. But Jesus paid the price. I not only believe that to be true, I trust it and receive Christ as my Savior. And when you do that, the power of the resurrection will rest upon you. And all of the promises of God in Christ will be yours for eternity. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Do you know the power of the resurrection in your own life? Have you believed that you're a sinner? And understand that there's nothing that you can do about it. You're lost. That's the way it is. Helpless and hopeless. But when Jesus went to the cross, he took your sins on himself. He suffered your suffering. He paid your price with his blood. He died the death that should be yours. And when he rose again, he made it possible for you to be redeemed from sin and have eternal life. Will you declare to God this day that you believe that and you trust Christ as your Savior? If that's something you've never done before and you need to do it now, when we sing our closing song, we invite you to come. And someone will sit down with you and share with you how today the power of resurrection of Jesus Christ can rest upon you. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that Jesus did, for the finished work of redemption, for the resurrection and the hope that is ours, and the power to live now in light of that resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. If there is one here that has not yet received Christ as Savior, bring them to yourself this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.